Welcome to Checkpoint Real Talk, a podcast for security folks who want less FUD and more FUN. In each episode, we'll have lighthearted conversations about security, people, processes, and technology as we react to how they're portrayed in film and TV. We'll bring in experts from inside and outside Checkpoint to break it down. What was accurate? What wasn't? And what can you apply to real-world cyber events? On today's episode, host Sia Yasotornrat, Checkpoint Global CISO Americas, Pete Nicoletti, and Mantech, VP Global Cyber Practice, Chris Cleary, react to Diehards Live Free or Die Hard. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome back to Checkpoint Real Talk. Super stoked for this week because we are going to do Die Hard, and it is the Live Free or Die Hard movie, 2007, guys. And I just want to say welcome before we kick off, because I always tend to forget to thank you and welcome our guests, Chris Cleary, and welcome back, Pete Nicoletti. Hi, guys.
Happy to be here.
Yay.
It's always a fun time with you.
Oh, thank you. Well, When I was reviewing like the movie and looking at clips of thinking like, hey, what would be fun for us to play around with? It just, this movie is just fun. This movie is just, and I'm not one for a lot of like, you know, blowing up things just for the sake of it, but for some reason it's fun for this movie. Do you guys feel the same way? What's your love level for Die Hard?
It's on my top 10 list.
Definitely. It's fun. And it's all four of them. I mean, this is the fourth in the series, and they just keep getting better.
Yeah. I mean, I thought this one was just obviously with Checkpoint Real Talk a little on the nose for us, obviously, because the whole cybersecurity aspect of it, but I thought it was just so perfect. So thank you for recommending it. And thank you, audience. I know quite a few people were saying Die Hard. You got to do Die Hard. And then I got told do it during Christmas, and I was like, okay, yeah, don't have time for it. And then, I mean, look, forget it. Let's just do it. Die Hard. We're just going to do it right. We're going to go right there right now. Christmas or not Christmas movie?
Oh,
definitely.
100%. I should have worn my, now I have a machine gun, ho, 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 t-shirt, which is sitting upstairs. I would have thought, if I thought more about it, I'd be wearing that right now. Absolutely Christmas movie.
I'm wrapping myself as a present right now because this is a Christmas movie. I mean, it's classic. I mean, right after Elf, when the kids go to bed, this is the movie that you play.
Yeah, after the kids go to bed. Okay, help me understand, guys. I don't get it. Just because the setting was Christmas-ish time. Really? Is that it? Just because there was a Christmas tree in the background? Is that what the deal was? Like, why Christmas?
Well, that is a part of it. It is set at a holiday Christmas party. He does make the ho, 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 the most famous ho, ho, ho reference, pinning, Santa Claus and the machine gun together. It just really doesn't get any more diehard than that.
Okay. All right. So feeling.
Bruce is typically busy during the year, and he films his diehards every Christmas season. He does his other stuff during the summer and diehard in winter.
Oh, gosh. Okay. I feel like I'm outvoted here. I just don't get it as a Christmas movie. If you can't watch it as a family unit, I mean,
Adult family movie.
I mean, well, you know what? Look. If you have kids, the odds are high the kids have probably heard you guys swear at one point, so I'm sure it's fine.
Oh, no, listen, I've seen the movie 1,000 times, and I know, what I think is most relevant about the movie we're about to see, and I know it's an oldie but a goodie, 2007, people say, like, why are you going all the way back to 2007? I think some of the things that people made fun of in this movie 20-something, almost 20 years ago, we're sort of actually beginning to see in real time. And, what's most interesting about this, and again, I'll as we're getting into the, let's hype it up a little bit. For those of you who've watched the movie a million times like I have, when the opening credit scenes, it's actually based on an article that was written in Signal magazine back 10 years before this movie was written, called A Farewell to Arms. The author was a guy named Carlin. What was his first name? I have it right here. Anyways, but he basically was writing an article about what a critical infrastructure attack could look like and how vulnerable the United States was to certain activity. Again, we're going, that's going back almost 30 years talking about this, right?
Mm. Again, science fiction becomes science fact.
That's right.
So we continually see it in movies.
And the things that are being pulled off in this movie that people scoffed at, we're actually seeing, if not in real time, certainly indications that adversaries are looking at doing this in the real world. So it's not that far-fetched anymore of what is shown in this movie.
I mean, Colonial Pipeline. I mean, I'm just saying, you guys, we've seen it, right? Like, to some degree, it has a potential for sure. Do you think that is probably maybe because we're slightly biased, but do you think that is the next generation of warfare, is to go after infrastructure like this?
So yes. And for those of you on the call that don't know me, you know, my previous life is I was the principal cyber advisor to the Department of the Navy. And one of the things that I spent the most time looking at was our 70 some odd installations, our hundreds of facility related mission critical control systems that looked at those, and the security that goes around it. And it's only been arguably the last maybe 10 years, probably even more like the last five, that we've really begun to look at the survivability and resiliency of operational technology. You know, that's just kind of come on the scene in the last, you know, decade-ish. And now we're understanding just how vulnerable those things are. And actually, to be honest with you, we've not resourced these things well at all. Most of them still remain vulnerable.
That's crazy.
And for people not familiar with my background, for 9 years, I broke into buildings. So I had a team and we did video feed disruption. We invented lock picks for locks that didn't have picks. And we were 100% successful. The whole thing about adversaries, if you have enough time and money, you can break into anything. I mean, we've seen it with other movies, the Mission Impossible movies, mm-hmm. all of the bank movies, all the Escape from Wherever, Alcatraz movies. If you have enough time and money, and that's what our nation state adversaries have. And that's what Chris Wray from the FBI just warned. You know, we've seen it with the water systems. We actually seen it, you know, a couple years ago with Colonial Pipeline, which was just, it wasn't even a targeted attack. That was just, if you're running from the bear, that was just the slowest company. But we're seeing nation state adversaries attack these things. They want to disrupt our society, and turning off power, grids, video feeds is the easiest way. It's cheap, and it's going to cull the population is what happens. Stage one.
Well, on that note, you guys, I think it's time. Are you guys ready for the first clip?
Right.
Because this has always been fascinating to me, because, you know, we talk about smart cities all the time, like in the last, you know, what 7 years or whatnot, IoT, Internet of Things. Well, look, if you're going to give a freaking toaster an IP address, guess what? It now becomes a vulnerable point of, attack. So knowing that anything with an IP address is hackable, what happens if they hack into, our traffic system? So, guys, are you ready for the first clip?
Right. Absolutely.
Excellent.
Cooperating with you.
We're at a heading of 060, making another pass.
Listen up, everyone. Are we ready?
Transportation hubs are prepped and set.
Begin stage one.
Can I tell you how much I love those control centers? It reminds me of war games.
Yeah, the reality is when you get in those rooms, they never look like that, though. Hollywood does it the best.
Six and a half innings in game. Civilian
this weekend for two shows only.
When's the last time you remember turning on the radio and listening to popular music? Or just give me a decade.
I actually do use it. I do listen to it now.
Was Michael Jackson still playing? Pearl Jam, I'll go back 10 years with you. 10 years. 20 years. The Cure? Nothing?
It's called News Radio. I was trying to see if any of your friends from Camden made the headlines.
Hold on. Listen to the news.
You got a problem with the news now?
Yeah, I got a big goddamn problem with the news. You ready for this? The news is completely manipulated. Everything you hear every single day is designed by corporate media to do one thing and one thing only.
Jesus.
To keep you living in fear.
Oh, fear?
Total fear. Fear so you'll go out and you'll spend money on things. Things you probably don't even need. Things you probably already have six of, so that their advertisers will keep buying ads on their stations. I'll tell you one more thing. You ready for this? I'll do this all day, man. I got days of day not at home. You don't believe me?
I'll keep going. I'll drop a bomb on you bigger than Nagasaki.
Hey!
What? What? Shut up.
That's good. That's good. Be dismissive instead of acting.
I here's what gets me on looking at this. Are we that blind, like clueless, if we get the green light that we don't notice cross traffic?
Look, and that's a little bit of Hollywood, right? You know, would the accidents be as dramatic as what's being played out right now? You know, probably not. People are still human beings. But what they're showing there is not possible.
Ooh, okay, guys. Not possible. Love the double negatives.
So, look at what I love this movie, and what I love about it is not necessarily the sensationalizing of the accident, right? I would agree that those things are not trivial to do, but they're not possible either, right? But when I have many conspiracy theories about this movie. I'll make a joke or two as we go on. And the what you got to focus in on is the Thomas Gabriel character, right? What we're seeing is somebody with the most dangerous part of this movie is not the technology that they're actually manipulating to do all these other things. The most dangerous part of this movie is a person who knows how to string all these things together to achieve whatever he is trying to achieve. And what I find is in the reality of today, not only do the vulnerabilities exist, and there are people, again, if for those of you who've seen the movie, when you watch the opening scenes, you know, and the credits are rolling, and it's like, I have access to banking and transportation. And it's like this checklist of access that's being created, or the software to do these attacks, to engage these zero days are being delivered by the bad guy. The character that Bruce Willis is protecting in the movie is basically just a hacker who wrote some scripts. It's the Thomas Gabriel character is the one who knows how to put all this stuff together.
Yeah,
those people, which might have been fictionalized in 1997, they're around now. There's people that are military planners that have been through the system. That's where I go back to my background. That's how I cut my teeth in this, as a military cyber planner trying to put operational things together that would leverage non-kinetic sort of effects against an adversarial target to blah, 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 right? I could go on and on and on. So when we look again, and when you look at the backstory of Thomas Gabriel in the movie, Thomas Gabriel is a disgruntled government employee who was shown the door because he's trying to demonstrate to his leadership the vulnerabilities associated with, let's say, the Department of Defense network. And because he does it in a way that they don't like, they kick him out. So his backstory is he's a disgruntled employee. And we've seen those things. The disgruntled employee in Australia that went and hacked the sewage system. And, you know, this is not, again, not possible.
Yeah.
The disgruntled employee in California that withheld the Cisco router and shut down the entire city from operating. We've seen that, and actually disgruntled insiders are one of the things that are absolutely the hardest to protect against. Right. You know, we always look externally, we always look at, you know, the hard crunchy outer layer with the moats and the boiling oil and the arrows, but when you have an insider, that's terrible. But this is a disgruntled insider, and we have lots of stories about that. As Chris pointed out, we have disgruntled insiders that have been booted out of NSA and the CIA for essentially the same thing, being whistleblowers and not being appreciated for what they're trying to whistleblow.
And again, part of my conspiratorial, I think when we were kicking around this movie around, I was making the joke, Pete, I think I told this to you, right? What's interesting about the Live Free Die Hard movie, and I'll probably say this again as we go through this, is there's two other movies that need to be made. There's the prequel to the movie and the sequel to the movie. Neither one of them will make money. Neither one of them will have Bruce Willis in it. They will get killed at the box office. The prequel to this movie is basically the Thomas Gabriel backstory of how he gets kicked out. But basically, you know, he needs to have been approached by somebody with resources to say, go do this, because a disgruntled GS-15 does not have the resources to buy that helicopter, to rent the French ninjas that follow him around the movie. Where did he get that 18-wheeler with the mobile command center on it? That was a multi-million dollar piece of equipment that was specially built. All the hackers that had to be reached out, and the individual things he needed. I mean, this took years to plan.
Oh, yeah.
And millions of dollars to pull off, right? And Hollywood just sort of snaps their fingers and we're ready at what would be, I would call movie two, right? Because movie one is all the backstory and how we got here. But once again, to find that individual, to incentivize that individual through some sort of financial gain, to provide the intelligence and the resources and the access to all the other casts of characters that need to come together to do this, not out of the question. And to look at Anonymous, right?
Yeah.
There are groups of people that can be leveraged to achieve certain things that are incentivized by whatever reason, nationality, politics, religion, you know, a multitude of things where you can incentivize people to do these things. And I think that's the underlying little theme that doesn't come out in the movie, but it's a thing that needs to be talked about, because this is what scares me as somebody who came from that world a little bit.
The disruption that we saw, you know, definitely hacking into two different systems, one being the cameras, the other being the lights. All of that is trivial. All you have to do is turn the power off. And we do not have a hardened power grid. And when you knock out the large transformers, we're talking about years before the parts are available. And sometimes the parts even aren't even made in the United States. And we're depending on the country that might have just knocked us off to get that part to replace it that was just burned or exploded or however it was ruined.
You're 100% right. And I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Go ahead, Checkpoint. If you want to fund a, you know, our version, our junior varsity version of the Hollywood blockbuster of Die Hard prequel, we will do it. Could you imagine if we got together and got all the Checkpoint like employees together to do like their version of it? That'd be so much fun. I'd be hilarious. Checkpoint, give me the budget, please. I'll do it. I'll make it happen.
We're doing a video right now just last week, $28 million were stolen on a fake Zoom call. We're actually mocking that up and showing people how easy that is to create fake people. So really? we're doing some crazy fun stuff for our CPX, our big yearly conference.
Oh, it's going to be amazing. Oh, I'm excited for you. Okay, don't give away, young man.
It's secret, but you get that secret.
Ooh, see, it's because we're cool kids here. So, okay, scale of 1 to 10 real quick. How realistic is this, you guys?
If I was going to go, I wouldn't to go all the way to the 10 and say 10 realism. There are people in the community that will poo-poo me. So I'm not going to go 10 in realism. There's certainly Hollywood that made that look a lot more sensationalized than it probably would actually be in real life. But technically possible, certainly north of 7. If you had the time, money, and resources to do this, this is not possible. That'll be my theme through this whole thing. Not possible.
Love it.
Totally concur. It's definitely Hollywoodized with, you know, first off, hackers can't type that fast. So it's definitely Hollywood's treatment. But as far as realism and potential for occurring, I'd even give it a notch or two higher, Chris. You know, our IoT devices, if you look at the CISA bulletins out for IoT devices, whether it be electrical control systems or pumps or whatever, every single day, 14, 15 different 0 days. And our checkpoint systems are seeing that. So we're seeing those attacks. So I've got to give it a notch up to an 8. I'm sorry to say.
Well,
no, I can't argue that.
I think I like the way you put the parameters. If there's a nation state backing this up, I do think it's feasible. I mean, could that that level of complex coordination in sequence? I mean, yes. I mean, Thomas Gabriel's character is a great, you know, Burns, like, you know, menace type character, but oh yeah, there's no two ways about it. That has to be funded by some kind of nation state.
I think it's hilarious that in 2007, he's talking about fake news. And here we are living that.
You know, and it's funny, when I was watching that scene again, I was scrolling through it as you sent it. And I'm like, we could probably skip over them talking in the car. And then I'm like, wow, but these are all the things we're arguing right now. Again, made in a movie almost 20 years ago.
And it's true. Yeah. That's right. I'm calling it. It's true. Yeah, I might not get hired by any traditional media at this point, but whatevs, over it. All right. So on that note, are we ready for clip two, you guys?
All the lights are green.
Huh?
All the lights are green.
Look, right, let's go. Let's go. Right now.
You gotta go?
Let's go. Get your bag, hack boy. Let's go. Let's go.
I've never been in a car. Come
on. You all right? Well, very exciting. Here we go. This way.
Come on. You know what I like?
Here we go. Yeah, I've been in a car.
He's got the real reaction after you get hit by a car. I don't understand how, like, he could be Teflon Don, get into a car wreck, and be, like, normal. I'm just saying.
Sir, Chicago's reporting a system crash on the L train network.
Amtrak is flashing a level 1 crash in their comm system.
FAA just issued a critical alert. Their ATC net just went down.
We're under attack.
Okay, let's get him outside for a little fresh air.
That's the anthrax alarm.
All right, everyone out! Now! Now!
Taylor, move!
Go! Move!
You would
think... anthrax alarm is a really big part of the scheme of maneuver here, which I'll get into when the clip ends.
Okay. Gabriel's very young. I was gonna say it.
All personnel must evacuate and proceed to the transportation shuttles immediately.
No, I'll tell you.
Fourth floor, got it? Masks on.
Got it, almost there, okay?
Run a trunk search on these data crashes. See if we can ID the point of origin.
Got it. Begin stage 2.
Woo.
So where do I start? Sorry. I gave a talk on this movie at DEF CON in 2011. And I took the whole movie and I strung it together like it was a military operations, with branches and sequels and lines of effort and things that connected to each other. Now, what you don't remember, for those of you who remember the movie, you know, when he sets off the anthrax alarm, what's interesting about that is, well, I know how I'm going to react when I do this. Right. If I could simply get the alarm to go off, I know people have to leave their buildings. And I know everybody's afraid because of the anthrax attacks that happened, you know, in real life just before. So people are, or that we know that's possible. We know an anthrax attack is possible. So we know it's not impossible that the alarm would go off, right? That's why we have these things. Now, I don't think we really have anthrax alarms that go off like that, but let's just for a minute say that we did. But what happens is all the buildings that are government facilities get emptied, to include the Target building, right? We all know that the Woodlawn site is the Target site, but it's just one of every, it's not like that building only got evacuated, all buildings got evacuated. Right. So it's sort of in the, you know, the Target is sort of in the noise of everything now. And what he's covering, what you don't understand, and here's the lines of effort that make this interesting. The end state of the movie was to steal money. Right? That's what he was going to do. He was going to download. They were going to steal money. All of these cyber-enabled things were either distractions or things that need to happen to enable something else. Because the attack on the financial center, if you remember, drove all the data to its secure site at Woodlawn, which was the social administration building. That was the target. All of this was about canalizing what they wanted to their target site. And again, the people who wrote the software at the end of the day were the least valuable of all this. Hey, I need you to make me a tool. It's how I use the tool. It's how I understand how people are going to react when certain things happen. It's how I'm driving my, then like say, for instance, when I was briefing this as a military planner, we'd have a branch or a SQL. So if the cyber attack on Wall Street didn't happen, I probably would have planned a truck bomb to go off after it. Right? Maybe that's the thing that would stimulate, because what I need, I don't really care about what's going on on Wall Street. I need some event to happen to trigger the storage or the backup of the information to my target site. Yeah. Again, it's the Thomas Gabriel character that can pin all the bring all these things together to achieve. Again, that's the scary part in all of this.
Ooh. Ooh. Because that's a human element. That's not the you're tangible, fighting it's a
human
intangible
element, right? You're getting people to chase, because what do? Now the FBI is just chasing their tails, thinking it's this massive cyber attack going on, which is going on. But it's really just a distraction for him to get to his target, which is the Social Security Administration and all the data that they're trying to steal from that site once it gets put into a singular place to be taken from.
I've actually been in that data center for the Social Security Administration, and it's so antiquated that, I mean, it's like the FAA being run on tubes. You know, it's we know that stuff is so antiquated. Yeah, the Social Security Administration, I guess I could say this now since it's about 15 years ago, but the day that I toured, you couldn't touch a rack. They had electricians in, they had a floating ground, and the entire rack system, as far as you could see, was electrified, and you'd shock. You had to go in there with two people because one person had to pull you off the rack if you touched it and were getting electrocuted. And the tapes that they were, the backups were still mainframe tapes. Oof. So, I mean, it was crazy. But, you know, here's the other thing. You know, these guys were, the hackers were motivated by money. Nation states are not motivated by money. They're motivated by disruption. Yeah. and the consequences of destruction. Destruction is a lot easier to do than stealing money. I mean, think about what a nation state would be, what they're capable of doing, and then what their motivation is. And it's not money. They print money. This money is of no consequence.
And here's where I get into my conspiracy theory of the movie, which is all of the things that are happening in this movie is just in itself another major distraction for whoever backed this person to do this thing, right? Whoever gave Thomas Gabriel the money and the planning and the whatever, they are probably saying this is going to cause so much pain and discontent in the United States of America that I'm now going to go off and do something in Europe. So my joke is, because the ninja assassin guys are all French. So, and my joke is, well, it's obviously the French government that has backed him to do this, because what they want to do is invade Germany, right? They want to go back at Germany, you know, but what they're going to do is they got to keep America out of this. Yeah. So I'm going to cause something that is so painful in America that they're just not going to want to deal with going on in Europe right now. And this is what I've done. So, Thomas, if you want all this money, I'm going to give you this thing. And fine, your golden goose is whatever you can get out of the data, and you can have gajillions of dollars that are yours. Fine. Don't care. Or maybe some of that money will go in then to help France finance their war over the next 10 years. Maybe that's sort of why they want this money. We don't know that. We didn't see the sequel to the movie, which would talk about all these things.
Checkpoint. We're looking for funding. Hey, Hollywood, we'll go for it. Let's do it. Okay. So let me ask you guys this, because nothing tickles me more. And by the way, full disclosure, there is a customer experience center, and they do have this little war room looking thing that I swear, like, they, you would go in and then you would open up this window, and like below ground, like below us would be this huge screen. And it totally looked like that. And it just cracked me up, because it's just for looks. I mean, they're just playing around.
I think you'd be disappointed if you went into many of those things you think exist in the government today. They're better than they were 10 years ago. Don't get me wrong. Navy Fleet Cybers Ops Center is a lot better than it was 10 years ago. But in 2007, that room didn't exist in 2007.
No,
it didn't. Not even close to that.
You know what really gets me too, guys? And I'd like your opinion. Pete, I think you commented last time that we were together, which is, I find it fascinating. I get it. It's Hollywood. We have to make things visual. But look at all that GUI. Like, look at all the different, like, maps and, like, windows of maps and windows of, like, I just thought it was kind of funny to see, because we know it's usually lines of code, right? Just, like, streaming by, or we're looking at really mundane pings, for example. Am I making it up in my head?
On the screen is all show. You know, I've had 4 managed security service providers, and what we put up on the screen was for sales purposes, and what people worked on their desk was completely different. Yes, it's the geographic stuff, the hacking, you know, the little, you know, dots coming in, you know, all the different maps and the weather, all that's just for show. But you're right, the what people are working on, it's working on a ticket. You know, something, a power supply just crapped out. You're not going to see that up on the screen.
Yeah, but Pete, my only pushback on that is, I agree, the people who actually do the work don't need to see any of that crap. Like, it is. But the people who don't understand what the people are who do that work need to see that stuff. Because, you know, I can't explain to, the chief of naval operations in code what's going on. They need to see a picture. Oh, well, Admiral Gilday being the exception to the rule, who was the fleet cyber commander. So I probably could. There's a time that you could explain to somebody. But Admiral Franchetti, who's the chief of naval operations right now, you know, she probably needs to see a picture. Not that she's incapable of understanding, but I got to be able
to. And it's got to be green.
Fast. It's got to be green, right?
It better be green. Yeah. No, that's very interesting. Yeah. I mean, what gets me is, like, yes, I get there needs to be some kind of, like, executive summary for as you go higher up in the chain, right? Like, to see the bigger picture. But it does crack me up in movies, because it's like, no, these are the people that are, like, working and getting, you know, they're the ones in the trenches, and what we're seeing is those beautiful pictures. And at the same time, someone has to code for that interface. Like, that's what kills me. It's like, you see little dots flying, like, dude, it's like, really, someone's gonna code for every single little dot coming out of nowhere? Like, I always thought that's kind of funny in the back of my mind,
you know. And then I'll go back to, but the people who write the checks to buy all that stuff are typically the people that need to see the little dot move, right? Because then they don't understand what they're paying for. I know it's all, I get it. I was trying to, I can't remember who the company was, but we had some way to visualize a data center where, like, you'd fly through a data center, and the data center people, this is 2001. And they're like, you know how much compute it's going to take just to come up with that damn picture that you want to look at? And I go, I know, and you know. But the people that really kind of need to understand or appreciate what's going on here, that picture helps them understand. And I know for us, we don't get it, but they need to see it.
I mean, it makes me feel good, okay? Just leave it be, peoples. Yeah. Scale 1 to 10. Gents, scale 1 to 10.
I'm still at an 8.
Yeah, again, if I know this is what I want somebody, you know, because let's just say, to get the anthrax alarm to set off, somebody had to bring real anthrax in and put it next to a sensor, right? Maybe I could do it electronically, but maybe there's other ways I could get it to go off, right? Because what I need is everybody out of the building. And there's probably 3 or 4 things in a military planning process you would have to get people out of the building we're going to set off the anthrax alarm. Thing number two would have been the fire alarm, right? Just get them the fire. Not as scary, but it still clears the building, right? The anthrax is much more, I'm getting into somebody's
head. More Hollywood.
More Hollywood, yeah.
I mean, you literally, if you wanted to throw out some smoke bombs and set it off, so there would be some, there's, I mean, they could have done that. But they're trying to get alert. They're trying to get more cybery. It's okay. Cool. Yep. Whatevs.
Yep.
All right, guys. So what I'm hearing, guys, is it's not necessarily impossible. It's not necessarily possible. It's just not. It's implausible. It's plausible. That's the word I'm thinking.
I think it's with. It's not implausible. The art of the possible.
It is
certainly not trivial to do, and it would cost. You know, it would take sophisticated and resourcing and tooling and understanding more. I mean, there's lots of things that have to go in. But each of those individual things are we've seen them in the wild happen. Stringing them all together to do something like this, ridiculously challenging, but not untrue.
Woo. All right, guys. On that note, I know we could keep talking about this movie because there were so many clips. I was like, guys, I'm sorry, we have to limit it. But I really appreciate your time, Chris. You're always welcome back, Pete. Obviously, you're welcome back as always. Thanks, everyone. And I guess that will wrap it up for another episode of Checkpoint Real Talk. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's a wrap on today's episode of Checkpoint Real Talk. If you like this video, hit that subscribe button and some of those other buttons to show us your appreciation. And if you want to learn more or have any questions, please let us know in the comments. We'll see you next time for another episode of Checkpoint Real Talk.